Our first Bible reading from this evening comes from Psalms 119, verses 65 to 72. This could be found in the brown pew Bibles in front of you on page 497. And if you need the Chinese Bibles, they're found on page 651. 119, verses 65. Do good to your servants, according to your word, Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgments, for I trust your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Our second Bible reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Verses 43 to 54. This can also be found in the Brown Pew Bibles on page 863 and in the Chinese Bibles on page 1155. Starting from verse 43. After the 2 days he left for Galilee, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you'll never believe. The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. This is the word of God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please deepen our faith in your Son Jesus as we stop and look at your word now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, belief is central to Christianity. We say, whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish but has eternal life. But what does it actually mean to believe? Because different people define belief in different ways. So, for example, you might have seen the TV comedy Ted Lasso, all about an American, knows nothing about soccer, but somehow he takes over as coach of an English Premier League club. And when he arrives, everybody is divided and dejected. But one of the first things he does is he makes this sign. He puts it up over the door in the change rooms and it says, "Believe." And he continually identifies all the good things in each of the players, and in the end, the team turns around. So for Ted Lasso, to believe means to always look for the positives, always look for the positives in others and in yourself. It's a feel-good story, but is that what we mean when we talk about believing in Jesus? Or, for a very different definition of belief, take the neuroscientist Sam Harris. He describes belief as when you hold an opinion without evidence. For Sam Harris, belief is the opposite of science. So is that what we mean when we say believe in Jesus? Do we mean that we've got to accept all the doctrines but without any evidence that they're true? Well, in today's passage, we're looking at John chapter 4, verses 43 to the end of the chapter, we'll get an insight into what Jesus means when he calls us to believe. And in this story, we'll see that there are actually different kinds of belief. We'll see that there is a kind of belief that seems to welcome Jesus, but actually doesn't honour him. And then there's another kind of belief that acknowledges Jesus and leads to eternal life. So let's think about our passage. And I've got to be honest, when I started reading this passage, I was a bit confused by verses 44 and 45. Because it says, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. Okay, verse 45, when he arrived in Galilee, which is his home country, the Galileans welcomed him. Hang on, Jesus is saying he won't be honoured, but they welcome him. What am I missing here? Well, it didn't really make sense to me until I put this in the overall story that John is telling. So come with me. Let's remember some of what we've looked at over previous weeks. Back in chapter 2, Jesus went into Jerusalem to attend the big festival. And this is an important thing. It wasn't just Jesus going there by himself. There was a whole lot of people travelled from Galilee down to the festival. If you flick back a page to John chapter 2, verse 23, now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed, there's that word, in his name, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. So do you get it? They've seen Jesus doing miracles, they believe, but it seems that the kind of belief they have is not the kind of belief that Jesus is looking for. And then, on his way home, we've got the passage that we looked at last week. Remember Jesus who went through Samaria and he meets the woman at the well? And he doesn't do any miracles in Samaria. Instead, he teaches them who he is. He reveals himself as the Messiah. And it says in John chapter 3, verse 39, many believed in him. So there's that word, believe. It says they recognized him as the Savior of the world. And Jesus described what was happening in Samaria as a great harvest. And so it seems that, what's happening in Samaria is the kind of belief that Jesus is looking for. But then he gets back to Galilee and everyone's like, oh, hooray, our miracle worker has come home. We've got so many things we need him to do. And the news gets around pretty quick because Jesus is soon confronted with a request for a miracle, for a healing. And look at Jesus' answer, chapter 4. Verse 48, unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. It's not really the answer we expect from Jesus to someone asking for help, is it? It's a bit like, have you ever had a relationship with someone and you think everything's going fine and then they say, no, there's some things we need to talk about. But notice Jesus says, you people, plural. So he's directing his comments to all the people of Galilee, not just to this one guy who's standing in front of him. It's almost like Jesus is sort of testing to see if this guy has the same attitude as everybody else. Because it seems that the people of Galilee have a surface-level belief in Jesus. They like Jesus. They welcome him. They want him in their town. They want him to do miracles. I mean, who wouldn't? But they don't yet have the kind of belief that Jesus is calling for. It's interesting. According to a survey from 2022, nearly 30% of Australians believe that Jesus was a prophet or a spiritual teacher, but that he was not God. So that means there's like nearly a third of Australians are Jesus positive, but don't think he's God. This passage reminds us, being Jesus positive is not the same as believing in him. There's another example of this believing but not fully believing in John chapter 7. You might want to flick forward there now. John chapter 7, verse 3. Jesus' brothers say to him, leave Galilee, go to Judea, so that your disciples may see the works that you do. They're like, hey, Jesus, go and do miracles in Judea. It'll be good for your fan base, for your followers. But then notice John chapter 7, verse 5, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. So yes, they knew he was a miracle worker, but they don't believe in him. They don't fully get who Jesus is and what his mission is all about as the saviour of the world. So let's just pause and apply this to our own lives. What does Jesus mean to you? Think about it. If Jesus is only the person you run to when there's sickness in your household, if Jesus is only the person you pray to when there's an exam coming up, there's a crisis at work, I've hit financial difficulty, if that's the only time you come to Jesus, then it's possible that you've missed the point of who he is and why he came. Don't get me wrong, Jesus is a healer. I've met many Christians who have told me about healings they've witnessed or experienced. Jesus is the giver of wisdom. It's right to ask for help with your studies. Jesus is the provider. We can rely on him for what we need, and he taught us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." But Jesus wants you to see that he's also so much more than those things. Because often we think that our biggest problems are our health or our exam or our finances. Whereas Jesus wants us to see that more serious than the illness of our bodies is the sickness of our souls. Jesus wants us to know that more serious than not knowing the periodic table for my chemistry exam is not knowing my Creator. Jesus wants us to see that more serious than having an empty bank account is the prospect of coming before the throne of God, having lived a bankrupt life. These are our deepest needs, and these are the things that Jesus ultimately came to save us from as Savior of the world. And if your belief in Jesus doesn't grapple with those things, then your belief doesn't honor Jesus, because it's missing the point of why he came. Because why did Jesus come? Did Jesus say, I have come that they may have tertiary entrance and have it to the fullest? No, the climax of the story is that Jesus came and died for your sins on the cross and rose for your eternal life. Now, of course, Jesus does care about those other needs. He does care about our physical needs, he is about to heal this man's son. It is a healing story. But let's look at how he does it. Because here Jesus heals in a way that's going to lead this man and his family from a surface level belief into a deeper, richer kind of belief that will lead to eternal life. See, what does the man want Jesus to do? Twice the man comes and, sorry, twice the man asks Jesus to come. And let's not criticize the guy for asking. I think in the same situation, you or I would be asking Jesus exactly the same thing. He's saying, Jesus, you got to come. Come to my town. Come and put your hand on this boy. Do your healer thing. But Jesus will not come. Instead, verse 50, what does he say? Go, your son will live. For this particular healing, Jesus insists that the man trusts his word. Jesus is doing this to teach him a deeper kind of belief, because the kind of belief that leads to eternal life is all about taking Jesus at his word. Did you notice in verse 50, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. It's a story of Jesus healing through his word. When the man realizes that the healing happened at the same exact moment that Jesus spoke the word, it says in verse 53, he and his whole household believed. Let me read you a quote from a guy called Bruce Milne. He's a pastor in Canada. He says, in a sense, something even greater was at stake in this encounter with Jesus than simply the healing of the boy. There was the healing of the father also, a healing of spirit, which having been obtained was the means of blessing to his entire family. It's this final treasure that Jesus seeks, and he's prepared to allow us to experience deep affliction in the process of obtaining it. So can you see that at the beginning of this story, the man has a kind of belief in Jesus? We could call it a surface level belief. We could say he's Jesus positive. He believes that Jesus is powerful. He believes that Jesus can heal. But by the end of the story, he's got a deeper kind of belief. And this deeper kind of belief is much more than just Ted Lasso, general positivity. And it's certainly more than an opinion formed without evidence, because the man looked into the evidence. He heard the report, my son's well, what time did it happen? The kind of belief that this man has learned is a belief in Jesus' word, that whatever Jesus says is trustworthy. As Jesus will tell us in the next chapter, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Do you notice how these things go together? It's Jesus, to believe Jesus' word is to believe the Father who sent him. Because when Jesus speaks, he speaks on behalf of the Father. So let's think through the take-home message for us. Surely the message is that if we want to go beyond surface-level belief, if we want to grow in the kind of belief that honours Jesus and leads to eternal life, then we will listen to his word. That's interesting. Last week, the take-home was kind of about asking Jesus for living water. That's prayer, isn't it? Whereas today, the focus is the other side of the picture. It's about listening to Jesus and trusting what he says. And we need both for a healthy Christian life. Like, can you imagine a relationship where one person does all the talking and the other does all the listening? I mean, maybe there's someone here who can imagine that, but if we only ever talk and never listen, we're not in a healthy relationship. Same when it comes to Jesus. Can you imagine someone who prays to Jesus but never listens to what the Spirit of Jesus says in the Word. Like, can you imagine if the only time there was communication, it was you saying, Jesus, look, sorry to disturb you. I've got another job for you, Jesus. Like, which one of you is the Lord in that relationship? Well, whereas in a relationship where Jesus is Lord, we listen to his word. We listen to what he's telling us. We ask in response to what we learn from him. Maybe it's a time to reflect what place does God's word have in my life? I mean, it's not about how much you read or hear, because this man only heard a few words from Jesus. But the point is, whose word do you believe it to be? See, the Galileans believed in Jesus as a dispenser of all the helps that they might need. But if that's all Jesus is, he's not much more than a big vending machine in the sky to use when you need and ignore when you don't. For many people, faith never gets past that surface level. But for this guy, this royal official, yeah, he came to Jesus in his time of need. Yes, we're supposed to run to Jesus in the crisis. We're supposed to ask him. And this man did receive what he asked for. But the important thing is that once he received the healing of his son, that wasn't the end for him and Jesus. That was actually the beginning of a deeper kind of belief. See, let's think again. When did this man believe in Jesus? Did he believe in Jesus at the beginning when he left his sick son to go and search for Jesus? Well, I'm sure that took some faith. Or did he believe in Jesus in verse 50 when Jesus said, go, and he went? Our English translation says the man took Jesus at his word. Literally, it's the man believed Jesus' word. It's that same word again, believe. And yet look again at verse 53. When he hears the news, so he and his whole household believed. The fact that Jesus proved himself able to heal simply by the power of his word without having to go and do, like it was assumed in those days, if there's a healer, they've got to go, you know, there was no wireless healing in those days. It was touching and imparting power. But here the power is in Jesus' word. This is what prompted a deeper kind of belief that he's not just the healer, but he's the Lord who sustains all things by his powerful word. As we introduce people to Jesus, their journey of faith is often not an easily recognizable leap from unbelief into belief. I mean, sometimes it happens very suddenly like that, and I'm sure from God's point of view, he knows exactly where people stand. But from our end, usually it's not always so clear and so simple. Often people go on a journey from being vaguely Jesus positive to generally Jesus responsive and eventually recognizing Jesus is Lord. And through each step of this journey, Jesus reveals himself and Jesus shows himself to be trustworthy. If you're here tonight and you think you're on that journey, then my encouragement for you is to remember, believing in Jesus is all about taking him at his word. And so whatever you find in his word, respond to it. Trust him. Take whatever that next step is for you and let him deepen your faith one step at a time. For those of you who do believe, who do have this deeper kind of faith. You know that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. That doesn't mean your journey of faith has finished. You have the faith which leads to eternal life, but it will still grow deeper as you learn to live every part of your life in line with that faith. And so here's something for you. Did you notice verse 52? The royal official meets his servant on the road and asks about the recovery. And do you notice how it's already the next day? Because he says, when does it happen? And he's like, yesterday? That's because I Google mapped the distance from Cana to Capernaum. It's nearly 30 kilometres. So this guy's travelled a long way and he's travelling a long way back. This is a long-range miracle that Jesus is doing. And I think that's encouraging for us. It's a sign that we can trust Jesus wherever we go. Because nothing that we face, nothing that you face tomorrow, will be beyond his reach. It's beyond the line of sight, but it's not beyond the reach of the powerful word of Jesus. And so wherever you're up to on the journey, keep coming to Jesus. Keep hearing his word. Keep trusting him by responding to what you hear. And let him lead you into deeper faith in his lordship over all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that nothing is beyond the reach of Jesus. We praise him as Lord of all. And we ask you that you will give us that faith in his word to keep trusting him tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.